Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to two portions of scriptures, the book of Mark chapter 11, and also the Old Testament book of Zechariah and chapter 9. If you would, let's stand together, the book of Zechariah chapter 9. And we'll begin with Zechariah chapter 9, and we will end the sermon with Zechariah chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Now, if you would turn to Mark chapter 11 and verse 7. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him. And he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they that went before and they that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Dear Heavenly Father, we think of this, what is called Palm Sunday, and we remember as you triumphantly went into Jerusalem. And Lord, we thank you that you went there on purpose and that you went there to die due to our sins. Lord, help us to ever be grateful. In Jesus, and we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. All four of the Gospels have the record of the Lord's entrance into Jerusalem, and we will be looking at them each. But Hosanna, it's a cry of acclamation and adoration, a cry of praise, a cry of devotion, a prayer of save us. And we see Jesus entering with much ado. But how quickly the tide of public opinion would change. Back a few pages of the book of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, if you would please. And we'll begin reading at verse 8. Matthew 21 and verse 8. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. In your mind's eye, try to realize that it is Passover time. The city's population would have doubled, tripled, maybe even quadrupled. There were hundreds and thousands of visitors from all over Europe, from Asia Minor, and maybe even from the Middle East. For those that had come from a great distance, the hubbub about Jesus may have been new and news to them. He was no Roman political leader. He was no military leader. He was not even a Jewish leader. He was simple and a simple man. So why all this pomp and circumstance? Who were these that walked with the man riding on the donkey? Why were the people shouting praise and adoration to him? Why was the city moved by his presence? And the question, who is this? Why Jesus? Why was it necessary for Jesus to come to Jerusalem, to Israel, to the Middle East, to the world? Why was it necessary? The answer is simple. It's a three-letter word. We all know it. Sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Either the spiritual death of the unrepentant sinner or the sacrificial death of a Savior. Jesus paid the price for our redemption. Jesus paid the ransom for our liberty. I quote to you 1 Corinthians 6:20, for we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Acts 20:28, feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. From 1 Peter chapter 1, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. This is who it is. It's our Redeemer. It's the one who paid our ransom. It is the one that was our substitute, our Savior. If you would, the book of Luke, chapter 19. We'll begin reading at verse 37. Luke 19:37, and when he was come nigh even unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had done, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, that being Jesus, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. The stones. May I say this? All creation cries out that there is indeed a divine creator, a divine designer of the universe. You see the pictures that have come back from Hubble. And aren't you amazed? And we think we're something, that we are God, some would say. That we are here simply by chance. That there was an explosion billions of years ago. And they want us to believe that. Now, this is where it comes, folks. Either you have a belief in evolution or you have a belief in the Word of God. The Bible tells us the fool hath said there is no God. Quickly, the book of Colossians chapter 1, and we have to move along because there's much I want to say. Colossians chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Colossians chapter 1:15, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. May I say this? We serve a risen Savior, but we also serve a mighty creative Savior. Psalms 19:1, you know it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And yet the Pharisees demand that Jesus rebuke His disciples. May I say this? There are political leaders now that want to tell us not to proclaim the Savior. They want us to be quiet in the public forum. They say, oh, you can within your walls proclaim your beliefs, but don't you dare tell us that there is a God that we need to bow down before. But may I say this? There is a God, and someday every knee will bow before Him. And all will declare that He is Lord of lords and King of kings. That the Pharisees said that He should stop the praise and the devotion that the people were giving. Folks, if they had, the stones would have cried out. But the world does not want to hear of Jesus. The world does not want to hear that they need a Savior. The world rejects the truth so that they can believe a lie. Remember this. A lie is a lie even if everyone believes it. And the truth is the truth even if no one believes it. May I say to you, and remember this if nothing else, are you smarter than a stone? For the stones would have declared who He was. The book of John chapter 12. John chapter 12, if you would please. And we're going to begin reading at verse 12. John 12, beginning at verse 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet Him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when He had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy King cometh sitting on an ass's colt. These things understood not His disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of Him, and that they had, and that they had done these things unto Him. The people therefore that was with Him, when He called Lazarus out of his grave, and raised him from the dead, bear record. For this cause the people also met Him, for that they heard that He had done this miracle. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is gone after Him. Verse 12 tells us, much people. Now, I don't know what it means by much people, but I do know this, that in the Middle East, that people get excited about things that are happening. They'll go out into the streets, they'll watch, and they'll walk along, and the crowd would have swelled because there were much people. And they took branches, and they took their clothes, and they put it in the street so that He could walk upon them, showing Him honor and respect. Jesus fulfills the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. And those that had been there when Lazarus had been raised from the dead came along also and said, We saw this. He raised the dead. He is indeed the Messiah. The Pharisees were feeling the sting of defeat. But they would not give up. See, their power and their position meant more to them than being right with God. Their power and their positions meant more to them than being right with God. Just like money and possessions and entertainment means more to people today than being right with God. See, how many people today earn their money from illegal practices? You know, we find that they're always telling you about people who are trying to become you. Why are they trying to become you? To get your money. Well, we find that there are people that are selling things on television that are blatant lies. You don't believe every advertisement on television, do you? I saw a commercial the other day for a new frying pan. I didn't know I wasn't frying things right. I didn't know that I could have eggs better. But this frying pan, if I were to get it, and maybe you've got it, and you can tell me about it, but I could do better. You know, we find that there are all kinds of these commercials that are a half hour long. I don't want this to sound like I'm nuts, but I've never watched a half hour commercial. Now, maybe you do. Maybe you find them exciting. But I find that there are a lot of things on television you can't believe. And that includes the news. And may I say this, the sitcoms that are on television today, the majority of them are not worth your time. We have people that are believing lies. And may I say this, there are a lot of people that are entertaining their children right into the pit of hell. That they give them everything but Jesus Christ. The most important thing a person can have is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and they don't bother taking them to church. They don't bother reading to them the Word of God. But may I say this, there are too many people today that believe that money is more important than being right with God. That having possessions is more important than being right with God. That entertainment is more important than being right with God. Take your Bibles to Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, rejoice greatly. Do you believe as a Bible-believing Christian you should rejoice in the Lord? Do you ever find it interesting that a symbol of Christianity is a symbol of death? I mean, people didn't put crosses in their yards to be something to be designing the yard and make it look good. A cross at that period in time was for one thing and one thing only. It was for crucifixion. We'll talk more about that on Friday. But it says here, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Behold, thy king cometh. Is he your king? Is he our Lord? Behold, thy king cometh. He is just. We often hear about a loving God, right? Don't you hear about that? Loving God? How could a loving God allow this to happen? How many of you have heard that statement? Someone say, how could a loving God allow that to happen? May I say this, that bad things happen in life because of sin. Because of sin. God is not only loving, He is just. That means He is above sin. He is not tempted with sin. May I say this? He is righteous. And when He looks upon us, He does not see our good works. Now, we do good works. Let me give you an example. I'm a member over here at one of the area gyms, and I'm amazed at how many people hold the door open for me. I wonder if it's the color of my hair. Would you say that's a nice thing? I mean, it's just a proper thing, right? Yeah. I've never had anybody knock me off the treadmill I was trying to get onto. You know, they're polite. But if this is our best that's going to get us into heaven, do you think a righteous God is going to let us get into heaven when He looks at us and sees our sins? Absolutely not. See, I feel sorry for someone who has been taught, if you are good enough, God's got to let you in. He doesn't have to let you in because your works will not get you into heaven. Our best are as filthy rags, the book of Isaiah says. He is just. When He looks at us, He is either going to see our sins or He's going to see the fact that we've been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. If we think we're going to get there because we're good looking or because we're Americans or because we are white or because we have much, no, that's not going to get us into heaven. He is just. But he realizes we need something. He realizes we need salvation. And notice that he said, it says here, "Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation." At the mission conference meal, I watched as Ethel came in with her deviled eggs. Thank you very much. I like deviled eggs. You know, other people came in. Dr. Mark came in with his enchiladas. And he immediately took some to the food table, and he then took a tray and put them in the kitchen. And the ones that were in the kitchen were for men only. I know, Kay, you had one also. Folks, they were hot. See, I think, Dr. Mark, we all should have had to eat one and then preach a sermon on hell, because we'd have known immediately what you were talking about. You know, I'm glad that these people came in with these things, because it made for a really good meal. Didn't you agree? Someone asked me, "Is Rudy bringing his kibasa?" And you did. Yes. And others of you brought other things, and they don't all come to mind right away, so please don't get mad at me if I didn't name yours. But I'm sure glad you brought them, because we had a really good meal. But our Lord brings something better. He brings salvation. But may I say this, when we went through the line and we had our plate, you got to pick and choose what you wanted, didn't you? You got to pick, and I'm glad that when I went through that there were enchiladas left and there were deviled eggs left, and I'm glad, Rudy, that there were people who had left the kibasa. The sauerkraut, well, that's all right. But the kibasa, now that's good. But I was able to pick and choose. When it comes to salvation, there aren't multiple ways into heaven. There's only one way. And that's through Jesus Christ. Satan wants you to believe there's multiple ways. Satan says, be good enough and you'll get into heaven. No, if you're good enough, you'll get into hell. If you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, if you've come to that point where you know you needed a Savior, you can get into heaven. He is just in having salvation. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." As we have our invitation time, and as our pianist and organist come, and as Pastor Stephen comes to lead the time of invitation, maybe you'd like to come and pray for someone right now that you know is lost and needs a Savior. But if you come and pray and ask that, "Lord, please save somebody," come with the same attitude and saying, "What can I do, Lord, to be that testimony?" Maybe you'd like to just come and pray and say, "Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for saving my soul." The altar should never be a place of which we are afraid. The altar should be a place in which we desire to go to get things right with God. And maybe there's one today that doesn't know the Lord as your Savior, and you'd like to get that taken care of today. We'd be glad to show you from the Word of God what you need to do. Shall we stand together as we sing number 375, "Just As I Am," without one plea. Jesus Christ wants you to be saved. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you give us. And the greatest blessing you give America is gospel preaching churches. Lord, I pray that you would bless this church, bless this invitation time, bless these people. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.